Good evening all, thank you for inviting me to be here today. I'm delighted to join you for this event and somewhat like Ottilien said, delighted to be here for this. And I think the privileged position of not going first and hearing from esteemed colleagues and just really excited about the potential of this and delighted to be here thinking really about how business can be part of making a real success of the ambitions of the group we're here to talk about today. So I'd like to really think about the context of growth, which may or may not surprise you. It's a big theme, and our Director General, Tony Danker, will be making a big speech around growth and our ambitions around growth next week. And you know, to get the high investment, high productivity economy and overcome some of the headwinds we're facing, be they shortages, energy prices, inflation, actually we need to get much more ambitious about growth. It's the same when we think about resilience, thinking about some of the things in the integrated review. We really need to make sure we're an economy that is growing. And I think the National Science and Technology Council and the Office of Science and Technology Strategy, we're going to have to get used to those acronyms, aren't we, so we can start using them properly. But can have a really important role to play in getting us there. So at the moment, we've kind of got a medium-term growth forecast around 1.6% a year. And if that's the ambition, then too often the actions that are needed to drive really ambitious growth are kind of put on the too difficult pile. And so we're not pulling all of our levers to get to where we need to be. So instead of long-term ambitious plans, this can lead to kind of policies and investment levels that are quite short-sighted, targeting some of those quick returns over that sort of 1 to 2 year period. So we're stuck in this short-term cycle, low ambition cycle, and it has real consequences, not least for innovation and R&D and the reaping the benefits of that. So to turn this around and to break that cycle, we really do need that long-term direction and ambitious policies that aim for higher growth. And I think policies that start not from where we are, but where we need to get to, and making sure that we put in the upfront investment and the upfront plans to get us there. So be saying a bit more on some of that this week, but really want to zoom in on what that means then for innovation and for how we can get that end-to-end system that Patrick was talking about earlier. So I just wanted to share some initial thoughts on what I think signs of success might look like, taking us down the road a couple of years as to what could good look like at the end of this. And I think I'll just pull out three kind of quick reflections. There will probably be more, but I think firstly, it's about knowing our own strengths. Are we able to articulate what are our strengths? What are we about? What is the UK are we famous for? And not just at a kind of top level within those who are very much interested in science or have a stake in science and tech, but actually what do our competitors say the UK is about? What do people on the street say we're about? What do young people in our school system think the UK is great at? What are those areas we can compete and win? And so I think the current persistent narrative is that the UK is good at research and not so good at innovation. There's some truth to that, but at the same time, last year, the UK, there was a new unicorn every 13 days in the UK. So there is real progress and movement, but actually I think this is a great opportunity to think, how can we capitalize on that and build? So the perception of the UK's competitive strengths, both at home and internationally, I don't think reflects even where we're at now, let alone with some coordination where we want to get to. And I think there's quite a few big consequences for that. So first of all, I think this contributes to underuse of the UK's capabilities towards national strategic goals. It also contributes to some of the underinvestment, both private investment, so businesses not seeing the UK as the place to do X, Y, or Z, but also in terms of investors thinking about, oh, if I want to find the companies or the ideas to invest in, not seeing the UK as the place to do that. But also actually affecting public investment, and that's a kind of long-term cyclical thing. And obviously we've had recent announcements around that, and fully agree with Ottilien's point, this is a kind of collective effort to make sure that we can get that investment across the public, private, third sector into our research and innovation base, but actually thinking about that across government, not just in the kind of directed pots, but the much broader sense of investment into R&D and into innovation, both in direct investment, but also lots of those indirect levers as well, right across government at all levels. The other thing I think that this perception of the UK can contribute to is actually to under-participation, and this has been brought up already, but thinking about individuals, impacts on their participation in seeing that the UK is a great place or an exciting place, or what is the stuff happening in science and technology that I want to be a part of in the years ahead. Both thinking about skills gaps that's particularly acute at the moment in a number of areas, but also thinking about diversity challenges. And I think also from a business perspective, it contributes to under-participation in this endeavour from businesses. If we're going to reach our ambitions to grow the intensity of R&D in the UK, we need not just existing R&D businesses to invest more, we need more businesses to get involved in innovation, whether that's from adopting tried and tested technologies through to at the cutting edge. We need more businesses to look at what does that look like for them. And, not sticking to the status quo, but rather kind of adopting and innovating. And I think the perception of the UK and clarity on where the UK can compete and win and what we're doing towards those ends will really help redress that balance. So we need to be able to understand and consistently tell the UK's innovation story, both at home and beyond. And I'm not talking about a national marketing campaign, you'll be pleased to know, I don't think that is the way to go, but rather clarity on the UK's existing strengths, what we should be known for now, and real clarity about what we're aiming to be so people can get on board and really join forces towards those ends. We heard a bit about that from Patrick in terms of thinking about when we have had these national challenges and everyone's rolled up their sleeves and got involved, and some of the measures, I won't run through all, was it 7 or 9, in terms of what enabled that to happen, but actually thinking about how can we have those clear outcome-based goals that are really time-bound to really pull through and get us working towards known goals. I think there are some parallels to draw from, particularly with the National Infrastructure Commission. It's a different setup, but tasked with strategy and monitoring, and in particular, I know business really value the rigor of that process, as well as working collaboratively, both to inform but also galvanize action. And I think some of this was picked up by Patrick, which was delighted to hear, in terms of that rigorous evidence-based approach, but really starting with a proper needs assessment, kind of a baseline assessment of where we are now, and using that to then build on an assessment of what is the future need, where do we need to be able to have different capabilities or capacity, what are the goals and aspirations, and kind of the horizon scanning and market assessment in order to get us there, and then the really what's required to get us from where we are now to where we need to be. In some ways it's very basic, but in other ways it's exceptionally complex and difficult, not least because of the kind of breadth and scale of what's involved, but also because of the ingrained short-termism and the sort of political headwinds as well that make that exceptionally difficult to do in a strategic way. So I think this new body, one of the signs of success will be, can we know our own strengths and others know it too? But what this new structure has, in addition to the direct link to, in addition to some of those things that the National Infrastructure Commission has, is that direct link into key decision makers. And that's what makes it really helpful, so that we don't end up with real clarity about what we're good at, but no action to get us there. And I think that's the real bit that I'm excited by. And I think, flowing from that clarity on where we compete and can compete and win, the second sign of success is really whether we will follow up that up with action, and will we take those big bold bets. So setting our sights on growth, will we take the big bold bets that are needed to get us there at the right time? So it does seem that the creation of this structure is a recognition that a reevaluation of risk is necessary. So dialing up opportunity cost into the mix. I think so often a lot of the decisions are made on, if we do this, what could or couldn't happen, might it fail? But actually We've heard some of the examples already, but I think recognising the need to be much more purposeful and planned about aligning capabilities and pushing collective levers in the same direction is really important. So, Patrick stole some of my notes, thinking about some of the examples where we perhaps have missed the boat and are playing catch up. 5G is top of my list as a really present example of what playing catch up looks like when, you know, had we got this right, we could be in a different position. I think similarly on battery production, we're playing a bit of catch up on that. And offshore wind, which is a bit of a tale of two halves, actually. Lots of the technology isn't UK and could have been, but at the same time, the offshore wind market based on contracts for difference is a great example of strategic bold action, with the UK government actually using its levers to pull through. So I think, looking ahead, this structure can help us move from kind of being on the back foot to really at front of the pack, and thinking about how we can set the rules of the game in those areas that are really important for us and take a lead. So will we take big bold bets? And finally, will we utilize the outputs of science and technological advances? So I think that's the third sign of success, is are we actually making the most of these? And I think that's in government, certainly, in businesses, but also in society at large, depending on what those are. So I think going back to risk, thinking particularly about are we as government pulling through and using the procurement lever, as Patrick was saying, but I think risk aversion of is such a big factor in the challenge around procurement of innovation and making sure that we're using that enormous lever to really grow innovative activity in the UK as sort of the proof of concept. And I think to de-risk innovative procurements, you know, are there areas where risk-averse procurement will be deemed a failure? So will we get to the point where, you know, we know these are our areas of strategic advantage that we're aiming for? We know that in order to do that, we need to push all these levers in the same direction. And at the moment, I think the balance is to avoid risk at all costs. But actually, a sign of success might be that we see not taking a risk to procure this is going to be seen as a failure. And that's a huge culture change from where we are now, but I think is a bit of a sign of success that we might have got some of this right. I do think, you know, the lack of collaboration between public and private sector is certainly something that we're keen to be part of changing and helping to make that work. And I think another aspect is around the speed. What's the deadline on some of these developments? So it's interesting talking to some of our companies and their reflections on perhaps some of the grants or opportunities for funding, and looking at what's asked of them to provide. And it might be, you know, what they're doing, what the idea is, what the market is. But one of the things that they're never asked is how quickly can you get there? And I think thinking about how we build that in to make sure that we're, you know, we talk about it as a global race, but we don't fund it as a global race. We fund it as global capabilities. And I think thinking about that a bit more, about how can we move at pace in the direction of travel that we want to go? And are we using our levers to get there in those really strategic areas? I think is exciting. I think is a big challenge, but I think is definitely a sign of success of this function. Have we got that right? I will pause there, but thank you very much. Thank you.